Okay, well, let's turn to Romans 15, and then it's where we pick up our regular Bible study. Gee, it was so nice this morning to see one of our young people brought her dad to church with her today. And you could see, it was so lovely, really, because you could see she was lit up like a light bulb to have her daddy with her today in church. And if you know who I mean, you could just see the joy just written all over her face that her dad would come to her church with her today. Really, really special. Just touched my heart. Everybody find Romans 15? Okay. I want you to reach out, take hands with the person who's next to you. If you're close enough to do so. And let's go before the Lord here. Father, we join ourselves together here with our brother Danny tonight in praying for his wife and his family. We thank you, Lord, for the mighty work that you have done in his life. We thank you for the glorious work that you have done and have begun in Christy's life. We know that that which you have begun, you are able to complete. And we know that you are able to perfect that which concerns her and concerns the family. We just join ourselves together, Lord, in this way. Your word says one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. There are enough joined here together in this room tonight to chase any number of the hordes of hell that may be arrayed against Christy, against Danny, against their family. Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We render your schemes and your devices against them null and void and without effect. We command that you loose them and loose this family and let them go. Amen. Spirit of the living God, we take the keys of the kingdom that Jesus gave to us and we loose the hounds of heaven. We loose the spirit of peace and the spirit of joy and the spirit of love and the spirit of holiness and the spirit of righteousness to come and occupy and possess all the members of this family. We pray, our Father, that you will preserve, that you will take Christy from where she is at her commitment and her covenant, and that you will give her boldness, that you will give her courage, and that you will stir yourself within her to rise up and live big within her and cause her to be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved her, who saved her. And deliver her fully and completely from everything that might oppress her, everything that might hinder her, everything that might harass her, everything that might hold her back or keep her from going forward in the Lord. And all of this we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 15. Now, the 14th chapter of Romans is a discussion, a comparison, actually, of spiritually weak persons and spiritually strong people. Those who are spiritually strong are those that understand that we have been delivered and set free in the Lord Jesus, and are not bound by regulations and such as whether we're going to worship on Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday or whatever, are not locked to Sabbath worship. Those that are strong understand that a relationship with God is not based on what kind of food you eat or what kind of food you avoid. And the key verse in Romans 14, we had some good studies out of this chapter, didn't we, for a couple of weeks here. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but rather it is righteousness, right standing with God, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, Romans 15, you know that when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't write it in chapters and he didn't write it in verses. He wrote it in paragraphs, like, you know, prose. So the division here is an artificial division added not by the writer but by the translators. And so very often you will see a strong continuance from one chapter to the next. That's the case here. Verse 1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." Now here's a use of this word infirmity. You know, a lot of folks think that the word infirmity means diseases. But infirmity is weaknesses, not diseases or sicknesses. So Paul is saying that the strong in the church ought to be willing to bear the weaknesses of the weak. Now to bear them means more than just to carry them. It means to put up with them. Are you listening? It means to put up with them. Because everybody is not at the same level, and you will have some foe. I mean, as a pastor, I'm probably the most misunderstood person in the world. Because as a pastor, it seems that way sometimes. I get accused of this and accused of that and accused of this, and so terribly misunderstood because everybody's not at the same level. Everybody's not at the same place spiritually. Everybody doesn't have the same relationship with the Lord. And this is why when we talked about in Romans 14, Paul said, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and so let's not bother judging each other. Let's let Him take care of that. Let's just love each other. Let's support each other. Let's work with each other. Let's walk with each other. Let's live with each other. Let's accept each other where we are and not be so concerned about the differences. We want to magnify the differences instead of magnifying the things that make us one. And so here he's saying that we ought to bear it means to endure it. It means to put up with it. And so you've got somebody in the church who doesn't like the fact, I don't know, what might somebody not like? You don't have enough pews, or we don't have a pew reserved for every, you know. When I come in, I have to sit in a different place every week. You know, church I grew up in, you had your pew. Everybody knew it was your pew, and nobody ever sat in it. Well, shame on a church like that. Shame on, you know what that says to me? That church never had any new people coming in. Because the new people don't know who belongs in what pew, do they? I mean, new people come in, they just take your pew. Well, look here, Danny's sitting in my chair. He is, isn't he? He's sitting right in my chair. Yeah. See, he didn't know that. He didn't know he's sitting in my chair. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make here? Hey? And so, if you've got... I really just have too much fun doing this. If you've got new people coming into your congregation, you're going to have folks that don't understand what's going on. And regardless of what the problem may be, and regardless of what the misunderstanding may be, those who are the strongest, the strong needs to bear the weak. The weak doesn't bear the strong. The baby doesn't carry her mother around. The mother carries the baby. The spiritual mother carries and disciples the spiritual baby. The spiritual baby does not carry the spiritual mother or father. It's the strong that bears. And when you are dealing with, see, oftentimes, this is, I find this, every time I see it, it surprises me because I just don't have any feelings along these lines. That when people are new Christians, you know, oftentimes they still have a lot of junk in their lives. And, you know, I've been at this too long and I get too much Jesus in me to have it bother me. I mean, it just doesn't bother me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It just does not bother me. And oftentimes when people are telling me things about their lives, you know, and so on, and they're so embarrassed and they, you know, feel ashamed and so on, I could care less. Because if you knew me, mine just aren't as obvious as yours. And you're going to grow out of those things too, because the same Holy Ghost that has been working in me for 20 years is now at work in you. And He's going to do various and sundry wonderful things in your life. There's no reason for anyone to be ashamed or embarrassed about their background or about an area of their life. I got to tell you this. If there's an area of your life that you're working on and you're under conviction about it, and you share it with somebody else and they put you down, it's their problem, not yours. Amen. They're the ones that are at fault, not you. And they're the ones that need to repent, not you. Okay? Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I mean, he said, I came to call the sinner. He said, those that are whole don't need a doctor, but those that are sick. And he said, I didn't come to call those that have it all together. He said, I came to call those that still have needs. And so don't ever feel a sense of that. Those that are strong in the Lord need to be willing to deal with the infirmities and the weaknesses of the weak ones, but not to please ourselves. Now, what could that mean? Well, I'm going to put up with you. I'm not going to use you. You might not understand. I use you. You haven't had a bath in 3 weeks. You got terrible body odor. You stink. I don't want to stand. I don't want to stand around you, but I will. I'm going to stand next to you because I'm a good person. You understand the principle here? See, I'm going to bear this, and I'm going to put up with this terrible odor that I'm having to deal with. I'm going to do it because I'm this nice Christian. I'm going to please myself. You understand the principle? So what he's saying is, let's bear the weaknesses and the infirmities of one another, but because out of what kind of a motive? Out of the fact that we really love them and we want to befriend them and we want to show them Christ. Amen. Not for our own benefit, but for theirs, and because we love them. Verse 2 says, a person knows whether you care about them or not. A person knows whether you really love them or not, or whether you're just putting on a religious act. People know that. They pick it up just like that. I hear folks saying kids can cut right through, and they know. Not only kids, anybody knows. You know. You know when you walk into a church whether people really care that you're there or not. You can sense that. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, not ours, and to his edification. Do you know what it means, this word edification? Build up. The word edification comes from the word edifice. An edifice is a building, a structure, something that has been constructed. And so to be edified means to be built up, to be constructed, to be established. So let every one of us see how we can be a blessing to his neighbor for his benefit and for his building up, not for our own. Because we are not to be ministered to, we are to minister. And then he says, verse 3, he gives us the example. And the example is not your blessed grandmother, even though she might have been the sweetest lady ever to live. But that's not your example. Your example is Jesus. For even Christ pleased not himself. In other words, he did not live for his own pleasure. Well, I'm sorry, Pastor. You know, I can't come up on work day because we've scheduled to go see the Braves play that day. Well, Greg, I can't come over to your house and help you move. I know I told you that I would, but I can't because somebody got us tickets to Six Flags for that day. Now, this gets pretty close to home, doesn't it? Well, Pastor, I'm sorry, I can't come to ensemble practice today because we're going to some other special kind of thing. I can't do whatever my responsibility is because I'm going to whatever. I can't come over and sit with your children because I was going to go to a movie. That's where the rubber hits the street, doesn't it? Well, I had planned to watch the NCAAs, and why don't you move next week? That's right. This is where it is. But even Christ pleased not himself. Well, I'm sorry, Father, why don't you send somebody else? Let's let John the Baptist do this. But rather, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Now Jesus really knew the word. Jesus the man knew the word. And this is Psalm 69. This is a passage from Psalm 69, verse 9, that he's quoting here. That Paul is quoting about Jesus. The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me, describing Jesus as taking the hate of those that hated God, came on him. Verse number 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In other words, we look at these passages, that's why we study the Word of God, because those things that were written about everything that happened in the past are for our own benefit and for our own purpose. In this particular case, I believe he's talking primarily about what is written about Jesus. That which is written about him were written for our learning, so that through steadfastness and the comfort which this, boy, you could stay right there and talk about that, couldn't you, for the rest of the evening, the comfort of the Scriptures, that we through steadfastness and the comfort which the Scriptures provide might have hope. You know, I'm sure you've had this experience, that you were all kind of just discombobulated and just not at rest, and you didn't know what was wrong, and you just get your Bible out and just start to read. You're not reading anything in particular, you just start to read, and all of a sudden, but over a period of time you're reading, and it just, it's okay. You know, there's a comfort that comes from the power of God's Word. I believe that's what he's talking about here. Now, no, I'm going to stop. I don't think I'm going to take that any further. I know if I begin that, we're going to have to take several verses, and we'll be here another 45 minutes. I don't want to take it that far. Let me just stop right there at the fifth.